This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Coming up, we'll hear from an expert who's looked at how structural racism has shaped black communities in America, and he has some thoughts about police and community relations. But first, race is very difficult for people to talk about. Many white people want to believe we're in a post-racial society. After all, we have an African-American president. Many black people note the inequalities that exist, the segregation that exists. So where do we start to build bridges that will help us all understand what it's like to live in America for people who are not exactly like us? I talked with community developer Lauren Hood in Detroit and asked how Americans can begin to have a real discussion about race when we've been so comfortable in our own beliefs about the subject for so long.
That's a tough one. Step one is getting people to acknowledge that there's a problem. I think to do that requires some self-awareness and some self-criticism. It's a place that most people aren't willing to go, and particularly people that are liberal and think they're doing the right thing all the time. So if you think you've already arrived at some point of consciousness and someone tells you you're not quite there yet, you're not ready for it, you get defensive.
Right, I've already moved my thought process beyond my comfort zone already, and you say I'm not there yet.
Exactly.
That is challenging. You work with groups to discuss racism and unconscious bias, which I want you to define a little bit. What kind of responses do you hear from white people when you start discussing those kinds of issues?
Most people think they're doing an okay job. What I try to do is use information that's already out there. So there is online an unconscious bias test that I like people to take. Sometimes when you present the data to people in that way, it absolves them from responsibility. So you say, see what the data has shown, that you have an unconscious bias. It's not you. You're not choosing this way of thinking. It's something unconscious that exists. It's operating in the background that you might not be paying attention to when you're making decisions, and it shapes how you see the world, but you're not conscious of it all the time. People of color have been having these conversations nonstop. It's kind of, you become aware that you're different from a very, very early age. So it's not anything new for us to have a discussion about race. It starts at about the first time you're 5 years old and you're on a school bus in the suburbs and someone yells out the N-word. Like, you know at that point that race is a thing. And it becomes something that's a part of your life.
Did that happen to you?
It did. So, but yeah, every other person of color I know has a similar story. It all starts very young, so we're not new to having a discussion about race. Something that I've become familiar with lately is the concept of white fragility. So that's the word you can use to describe the fear about having a conversation about race. It's not about laying blame or making anyone feel guilty, but it's about an awareness of the unspoken privilege that people have, and that some people are benefit by and others don't.
More than a year ago, my colleague Dustin Dwyer posted a blog about white fragility. Mm-hmm. That has been one of the highest read pieces that we've ever had. It just keeps coming up again and again and again. Mm-hmm. So what do we lose when we don't or we won't discuss the topic of race?
The opportunity to change, grow, expand our consciousness. We lose the opportunity for equity. It's really unfortunate that people live in this fear space and we can't have the conversations. To me, it's just it's second nature to be able to talk about those things. And sometimes I think it's a WASP fear in general to kind of
WASP, just, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants.
Just not talk about things that are wrong, like in your personal life, in your family life. So why would you talk about something that's wrong societally? Because, you know, that affects you the least. But I feel like in order to move forward, we just have to be fearless in having these conversations.
In Detroit, mortgage foreclosures, tax foreclosures, water shutoffs, poverty, many other issues are often seen by people outside of the city as a matter of not taking personal responsibility. That's something we hear out of Lansing and Washington a lot. Mm-hmm. They're not pulling themselves up by their bootstraps. What are they missing when that's their only response to Detroit's woes?
The bootstrap argument. That's one of my triggers. You're trying to, as a facilitator of these kinds of conversations, know what things get you going so your facilitation partner can slide in there and help you out. It just speaks to a lack of awareness about structural racism. So there are structures in place that prevent people from having an equal opportunity or equal access to the education they need to get a good job, the opportunities for those kinds of jobs, the transportation to those kinds of jobs. There are just structures in place that ensure that we will maintain the status quo. And whenever people say that, it's just they're demonstrating their lack of awareness about those structures.
In Baltimore, in Ferguson, in New York, and other cities, Black Lives Matter and anguished and angry citizens have been protesting the shootings or the deaths of unarmed black men. What impact has that had on discussions about the racial divide in this country?
I think those stories, for people of color, we always knew that happened. Like, I've been stopped by the police for no reason. My mom referred to it as driving while black, DWB. So I know what that's like. It's just something that people of color experience. So I feel like the media attention to those stories just brought it out to everyone that wasn't a person of color. Like, welcome to our world. We've always known that was the problem. Now everybody else knows. I think there are some people that are still in denial about the disproportionate amount of black people that are taken to jail, that are stopped, that are pulled over, versus how often it happens to white people.
That's Lauren Hood. We talked to her at the Urban Consulate in Detroit.